What's up, y'all? Host of the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Jeremy Jackson here, reminding you to check out sportshealth.com. Again, sportshealth.com/SMB, sportshealth.com/SMB, where you can enter the November password. The November password is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. That's my beautiful wife, my number one fan, my biggest supporter. So, Sarah, thank you for all the support that you give me. And don't forget, sportshealth.com/SMB. Password is Sarah. Check it out. Get your chance to win. Let me know if there's any way I can help you out here on Sports Medicine Broadcast, or if there's any topics you want to cover, anybody you think we should talk to. Thanks.
Brett Singer is going to talk to us again on nutrition, pre- and post-game nutrition. So this should be interesting because I came from the old school. It didn't matter what you ate. You could eat anything you wanted and be a, you know, perform. So, and the old school was, you know, you could name different people who had gold medals and stuff, and they ate pizza and things like that. So I'm sure that he's changed that perception a little bit.
Okay, how are y'all? Thanks for having me back again, one more day. All right, so my name is Brett. I am a dietitian. I talked to y'all yesterday, so we're talking about pre- and post-game nutrition, affordable pre- and post-game nutrition meals. I'm not giving a cooking demonstration or anything like that, but I can give you some tips and some ideas, so that's what we're gonna work on today. So today we're gonna talk about what happens during a game. Some of the goals of pregame and postgame nutrition, what we need to be consuming, what we need to be avoiding, the timing of the meals, as well as postgame nutrition and recovery. So I want to start off with going over what actually occurs during exercise from a nutrition point of view. I think in order to know how we should be eating, we need to know what's happening from nutrition during the exercise itself. So during exercise, once we start high exercise activity, like most of your athletes during a game, once that occurs, blood flow is shunted away from the digestive tract going toward the muscle. So that means gastric emptying, or the rate that food passes through your stomach, slows down dramatically. Okay. During exercise, we utilize carbohydrates in the form of blood glucose, in the form of muscle glycogen, and in the form of fat. We use those for energy. As the intensity of exercise goes up, we start to rely more and more on carbohydrates. So for most team sport activities, majority of the time, as the intensity goes up, like most of those sports will, the carbohydrates are going to be what we focus on most for energy utilization. Okay. As glycogen, or as our storage of carbohydrates goes down, as our blood glucose goes down, fatigue starts to set in. And then lastly, we start to see, obviously we sweat, we lose fluid and electrolytes. Okay, so we need to know what's occurring during exercise to know how we should approach it. Now we're skipping all over the place. Okay. So with that in mind, one of the first goals is that we want to eat in a way that allows ourselves to fully digest the meal prior to the start of exercise. So if gastric emptying slows down dramatically once exercise begins, we want to make sure all that food's digested before exercise begins. That way that doesn't become an issue. We want to feel comfortably full. We don't want to feel stuffed. We don't want to feel like we're going to throw up. And we don't want to feel weak or starving either. So we want to find that balance. We know that as glycogen gets depleted, we start to feel fatigued. So we should eat in a way where we're consuming carbohydrates to maximize our glycogen levels, which gives us the ability to exercise longer before we hit that wall. Okay, and then obviously we want to start the exercise off hydrated. Okay, so with timing in mind, my recommendation for any athlete is going to be that we try and have a pregame meal 1 to 4 hours in advance. I think it's crucial that they realize that as we change the time frame, our meals should change as well. You should not be having the same meal 4 hours in advance that you would have 1 hour in advance. If you do that, you're often going to find that you're going to have major issues from a stomach discomfort point of view. Okay, we want to make sure that as the game approaches that the portion sizes decrease and that we really start to cut down on what we are providing in our meals. So the closer to game time, the more we want to focus on carbohydrates and the less we want to focus on those alternative energy sources. So what should we be consuming? We need to be consuming easily digestible carbohydrates, small portions of lean protein. We don't need to be having giant steaks or anything like that. And we need to be consuming fluids. For carbohydrates, the main focal point of the game or pregame meal. When we consume carbohydrates, I think it's important to note that we store carbohydrates in the form of muscle glycogen, liver glycogen, and we have blood glucose. We use muscle glycogen and blood glucose for energy during exercise. Liver glycogen is utilized to maintain our blood sugar at normal level. So we don't use liver glycogen during exercise. That's used to keep our blood sugar in check. Okay, now, when we go to sleep, much of our liver glycogen is actually depleted overnight. So we can lose as much as about 50% of our liver glycogen as we sleep. So this means the following morning, if an athlete gets up for a game, the liver glycogen that's utilized to maintain their blood sugar at a normal level is now depleted. They are more likely to potentially get hypoglycemic. So we know that they should be having something for a pregame meal, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon. After a fasted state for morning games, we've seen different studies showing that you can increase muscle glycogen by about 11 to 15% and liver glycogen by as much as about 30 to 40%. Okay, so that's a significant increase in glycogen. That's a significant increase in energy that we have available for games. So we know we need to be having carbohydrates prior to game time, especially if it's an early morning session. Additionally, we know that as glycogen lowers, we get fatigued. We've seen several different studies where they have athletes participate either in a glycogen depleted state or in full glycogen state. And we see that skill levels, energy levels, are dramatically different between the two. So in those who are well-fueled at the end of the game or at the end of a training session during studies, they can show that they can shoot more accurately, that they can pass, that they can dribble, that they can do all the skills necessary to perform at their best significantly better than those who are at a glycogen depleted state. So we know we want to start off our exercise or our game with a full level of glycogen. That allows us to go longer into the game before we feel fatigued, and it allows us to perform better at a higher skill level for longer in the game. Okay, I think this is a helpful, this is from a website called My Sports Science. I think it's a very helpful website for all of you. It's a researcher in nutrition. He provides all sorts of different just blogs or topics on different research studies that are coming out. He provides all sorts of different infographics. I think it's a helpful tool. This is one that I found really helpful. It's basically showing different heart rates. And what it's showing here is that the left-hand side over here, we're seeing that during that time, it's a lower heart rate. So 50% heart rate max, 60% heart rate max. We're utilizing a good amount of fat during that time. But as the heart rate goes up, as we start to approach 80, 85% of our heart rate max, we are no longer utilizing hardly any fat or any fat at all. We are only utilizing carbohydrates. Now, I understand there's some sports activities where we don't get our heart rate up that high all the time, but there's some sports like basketball or like football or like soccer or tennis or whatever it may be where our heart rate is up very, very high. And therefore, it's just showing us that carbohydrates are a major, major part of our energy utilization. Okay, so carbohydrate options, I know you know this already, but it's things like grains, rice, pasta. It's going to be things like fruits, starchy vegetables, dairy can work, add-ons like jellies, honeys, jams, sports drinks. I also think it's helpful to note that the closer you get to game time, typically the more refined we want to be with our carbohydrates, meaning that whole grain bread, while great day-to-day, is not always the best choice right before a game. Whole grain bread is broken down much more slowly. It may sit in the stomach longer. It may lead to stomach discomfort. So if you have an athlete who always complains of feeling uncomfortable because the breakfast they have sits too heavy, so now they decide they're not going to eat anything, the transition might not be from whole grain bagel or whole grain toast to nothing. The transition should be from whole grain bread to white bread or a white bagel. Perhaps this is digested quicker and it sits a little easier on their stomach. So the closer to exercise, typically the more refined I go. I'll go from whole grain brown rice to white rice as we get closer, or from whole grain bread to white bread as we get closer. These are some different carbohydrate sources. So we talk about affordable meals. I'll get into a few different meal examples in a little bit. This is in your packet, but it's different options. All these are about 30 grams of carbohydrates. So we've got apples, bagels, bananas, bread. All of these items are 65 cents or lower. Rice, bread, pasta, we're talking 20 cents or lower. I don't care if your athlete is low economic status, upper class, it doesn't matter. I would not be telling them any differently on what they should be having pre or post game. The price does not matter. Rice, pasta, bread, those were the things that I would tell them to eat. And actually, those are the things that are cheapest for them to eat. So anyone can be having a good quality pregame meal. This is not me searching for cheapest items. This is me just going to HEB and finding the prices I find in 10 minutes. These are all very, very cheap sources of carbohydrates. And you'll see in a little bit, it's a good quantity of carbohydrates as well. Okay, protein. So it provides a feeling of fullness. I don't think it's an absolute necessity before a game, but I think it can be helpful. If your athlete complains of feeling constantly hungry during games, this would be something that they can have. If they're having their final pregame meal far in advance, so 3 or 4 hours in advance, this would be a good item to have. It makes sure that they feel comfortably full by the time the game time rolls around. We want to make sure if we are having meat or protein that it's a lean form. So we're not having ribs and we're not having steak, but we're having baked or grilled chicken or fish or shrimp or something like that, something very lean. Okay, again, a little bit less options that I've got listed here, but these are some protein options. They're not in your binder, unfortunately, but these are still cheap prices. So what we're seeing, chicken, deli meat, milk, yogurt, these are all less than a dollar per portion. Each of these is about 15 to 20 grams approximately in protein. So if you're having a meal 4 hours in advance or 2 hours in advance or 1 hour in advance, these are all somewhat appropriate options that you can have that they should be able to tolerate easily that are all very, very cheap. Okay, what we should be avoiding, high-fat foods, okay, high greasy foods, or foods that are especially greasy, foods that are too large in portions, or foods that are too fibrous. I think sometimes people have meals beforehand, they have one bad experience with it, and they go to nothing at all from there on out, and I think that's a problem. Last week we had a client who ran a 10K, and they had before their 10K, they had a bagel with a load of peanut butter, and it was a whole grain bagel. And they threw up afterwards, and they felt terrible. Now he's running marathons. Guess what he has before marathons? Nothing. 26.2 miles, he has nothing beforehand because of one terrible experience. Now we started talking about, well, high fat's not a good idea. Your whole grain bagel was really high in fiber, so that's probably not the best idea. So we went ahead and swapped it out. We went with a white bagel. We went with no peanut butter at all, okay? And that was easy enough to tolerate. Now they're having a much better experience with it. So look at for those foods that are especially things that we should avoid, like that high-fat foods, the high-greasy foods, high-fiber foods. Okay, meal timing. So this is just to give you an idea. Again, I did the calculation with y'all yesterday, so if you want to, for practical purposes, you can determine someone's carbohydrate needs with this. And so you can divide the weight into kilograms, and that'll help you out with it. Okay, so 3 to 4 hours in advance. Now we have plenty of time to let food digest so we can be a little bit more lenient with what we consume. In this case, what I would say is, what the textbook will recommend is 3 to 4 grams per kilogram, meaning that a 50-kilogram athlete could have as much as 150 to 200 grams of carbohydrates. In my personal opinion, and in most dietitians' opinions from my experience, this is way, way, way too much. But it is the textbook recommendation, so I want to put it out there for you. I typically believe 1 to 2 is grams per kilogram is totally enough. If you look at this from a more practical point of view, if you've got a 200-pound, 220-pound football player, that means he would need to be eating 300 to 400 grams of carbohydrates before a game. Probably not realistic in most cases. So for a triathlon, an elite marathon, something like that, I think this is a potential option. But in this particular case, I don't think it's the best option. Okay. Lean protein, we want to be taking in about 15 to 20 grams of protein for this, and that's just to make sure that we feel full. And we want to make sure that we limit our fat and veggies, but we can have at least a little bit of it. Okay, so what we're looking for, choose grains, one or two servings of fruit, 2 to 4 ounces of lean meat, and in some cases, you can add a little bit of fat, so some oil. You can add a little bit of vegetables, but they're not a necessity. They're not going to enhance performance one way or the other. That's only for comfort or for taste if they want to. Okay, so the example of this that I would give. 2 cups of pasta with 1 or 2 teaspoons of oil, garlic toast, large apple, 3 ounces of grilled meat, steamed broccoli. This meal itself costs $2. 150 grams of carbohydrates, a little over $2. I don't care who you are, that's not hard to make and that's not hard to afford. $2 for that meal. If you go back and look at the prices, it's listed in examples and in the previous examples on the previous slides. I don't know why this clicker is not working. Kale, you might as well. There we go. All right. So another example, a Subway sandwich. They can be either a sandwich that they make at home or a Subway sandwich that they get from a restaurant. But again, this is going to be a similar quantity of carbohydrates. It's going to be a little bit more expensive if you're actually going to a restaurant chain, but still affordable, still cheap enough for them to have. A sandwich with little cheese or no cheese, fruit, applesauce, and a sports drink. Still about 150 grams of carbohydrates or so. Perfect. All right, 1 to 2 hours before. Now we tighten it up. So now the carbohydrate amount decreases. Now we start to really pick and choose if we want to go ahead and avoid meat altogether, if we want to avoid fat altogether and avoid veggies. My recommendation is a little bit less carbohydrates, a little bit smaller portion of meat, and really go ahead and limit or cut out fat and veggies altogether in this scenario. Okay. My recommendation here would be about 1 to 2 grams per kilogram of carbohydrates. So that 50 kilogram athlete we talked about earlier, now we're taking in roughly 50 to 100 grams of carbohydrates. To me, this is an appropriate amount whether you're eating 1 to 2 hours in advance or 3 or 4 hours in advance. I think 1 to 2 grams per kilogram is an appropriate range for most athletes. Okay, so and again, an example, what we're trying to do, we're just choosing grains of some sort, fruit, and then in some scenarios, 2 to 3 ounces of lean meat, or a little bit of nut butter, or a little bit of dairy. Either of those can work, but we're just looking for a very small portion just to feel comfortably full. We want to really limit that fat and fiber. Okay, examples of this. So now we're looking at 1 cup cooked white rice, 2 to 3 ounces of meat, a banana with water. And that's going to be roughly about 75 grams of carbohydrates. And it costs about $1. $1 for that meal. Less than an hour. Once we're less than an hour, now we really want to tighten it up completely. Now we avoid any and all fat. We avoid protein altogether. We really try and limit fiber. And now we want a very, very small portion of carbohydrates. So now we're looking for 15 to 30 grams of carbohydrates in total. No more than that. So in this scenario, what I'm looking for is 1 slice of white bread with some jelly, 1 small piece of fruit, a little bit of sports drink. If they like those shot blocks or those gels, that can be a perfectly good option. But what we're looking for is just simple, easily digestible carbohydrates, 15 to 30 grams or so. And that would be in the scenario where they're having either 1 last snack before the game, or if they're waking up, you know, really early for a very early morning race, very early game. They don't have time to have something really large at that point. This would be a scenario that at least they could have this to provide some extra fuel. Okay, recovery. All right, post-game recovery. So the first question I want to ask or that you want to be asking is when is the next game? Or what are they recovering for? If they've got a game within 24 hours, now we should probably be having something pretty soon after. The goal is to have something within 30 to 60 minutes for recovery. If they don't have a game, let's say it's a Friday night high school game and their next game's not until Tuesday, do they really need to be having something immediately afterwards? No, not really. They've got plenty of time to recover. Okay? You as a practitioner can know that. You understand that and you may realize that, okay, if they've got a game tonight at Friday night, and they aren't going to be home for another hour or so, it's not a big deal. It's okay for them to wait until they get home to have dinner, have a post-game meal. Okay, but From a practical standpoint, when we're talking to athletes, it's difficult to sometimes try and differentiate between time frames of what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. So me as a practitioner, I will typically tell my athletes that it's best to just have something regardless within 30 to 60 minutes. It's the easiest recommendation to make. It's an appropriate recommendation. It's not going to harm them to have something. From your point of view, if you're trying to decide between having something or not having something as a team, you know, just understand what is it that you're actually recovering for. If you've got plenty of time, then you don't necessarily need to be having something immediately following. The second question I ask is how much access till they actually, or how much time till they actually have access to food? How much time till they feel comfortable eating? Sometimes that dictates what we need to do. You know, if they're going to not be home for 2 or 3 hours for whatever reason, if they've got to watch varsity play, and then they've got to drive home another hour, now they may want to have something, you know, on site for a quick recovery option. But if they've got plenty of time, then, or if they've got, you know, a quick period of time before they get home, then they don't need to worry so much about it. If there's a comfort level with it, maybe they don't want to have something too large. This is where a liquid recovery option's sometimes a little bit easier to tolerate. Okay, so my three is R's of recovery. So some of you have heard me present before, I'm sure, at this conference or other times. And in this scenario, 3 R's of recovery is a big thing that I pretty much mention every time. So 3 R's of recovery are rehydrate with fluid and electrolytes, replenish our glycogen with carbohydrates, and repair with protein. So with rehydration, the goal is really that we just make sure that we're replacing the fluid that we've lost. So for every pound of fluid that we lose, that's equal to about 16 ounces. The goal is now to take in about 20 to 24 ounces of fluid for every pound of sweat loss that we have. That makes sure that we not only replace the fluid, but we replace the additional fluid that we'll lose from additional sweat and additional urination. Okay, so 20 to 24 ounces for every pound of fluid that we lose. So rehydration tips that I want you to keep in mind, chugging water right after a game is not going to help. That's just going to delay the process. So they don't want to be drinking all that water at one time. They want to be drinking in incremental amounts, small portions every 10 to 20 minutes. If it's at all possible to have fluid in the form of milk or a recovery drink or fluid with food, that will help slow down the absorption. The slower the absorption becomes, the better the retention becomes. So drinking plain water will lead to urination much quicker. If I can drink milk, which has protein, which has fat, which has carbohydrates, which has electrolytes, that slows down absorption and that improves retention. Okay, so sometimes drinking water by itself is not helpful. Drinking water with other foods or water in combination with electrolytes or protein, carbohydrates, that will help with the retention and that will help with rehydration. Replenish glycogen. So this is where it comes down to, again, we want to make sure that, you know, what is it that they're preparing for? If they have a game several days in advance, it's easy enough to replenish glycogen within several days. Okay, if they've got a game the next morning or later on that day, it's much difficult, much more difficult. So now we want to be having something immediately following. If glycogen's not adequately replaced before the next game, that means that next game we're going to enter fatigue much more early. Okay, so for carbohydrates, the goal is that we want to choose a lot of the same carbohydrates we talked about earlier in the pregame nutrition. We want to aim for about 1 to 1.2 grams per kilogram. So again, the 50-pound or 50-kilogram athlete needs to be taking in about 50 to 60 grams of carbohydrates to adequately replace their glycogen. Finally, protein. We want to repair muscle tissue with protein. The goal should be 15 to 30 grams or so of protein, depending on the size of the athlete. Smaller athletes will need 15 to 20. Larger athletes may need closer to 30. We want to do it with complete proteins like dairy, meat, fish, and eggs. And these are some good quality protein sources. Okay, this is another list of proteins. Basically, what I would suggest for you for recovery purposes is that you want to pick out 2 to 3 items from this list. Okay, 2 to 3 items from this list will be adequate recovery for all of your athletes. Okay, that's going to equate to about 15 to 25 grams of protein or so. Okay, so having 2 cups of milk, having a cup of Greek or cottage cheese, having a couple of eggs, having 2 or 3 ounces of meat, that will adequately replace or repair muscle tissue by giving us enough protein and high quality protein. Okay, so 3 hours of recovery. So again, just one review of that, 1 to 1.2 grams per kilogram of carbohydrates. Make sure that we're taking in 20 to 24 ounces of fluid for every pound of fluid lost. And we're taking in 15 to 30 grams of protein, or 2 to 3 options from that previous list. Okay, if they are the type where they do not feel hungry after a game, or if they're the type where they don't have a lot of time, or they don't have access to food very quickly after exercise, okay, in that sense, then we want to try and do liquid recoveries. These are easy options, or these are some snack options as well, that they can have on site that are fairly cheap as well. Okay, things like chocolate milk, I know we hear it all the time, but it is a good option. It's helpful for protein, carbohydrates, and rehydration. Smoothies, making either juice or milk with yogurt and frozen fruit is an easy option that they can be having. Kefir is a liquidated form of yogurt that comes in a flavored version that's a good quality, high-quality protein. Commercial recovery drinks like Gatorade Recover, Ensure, or Boost are all helpful because they all contain fluids, electrolytes, protein, and carbohydrates. If they want something a little bit more solid but still small in portion, things like yogurt, peanut butter and jelly with a little bit of milk, and string cheese with a sports drink, something like that. Those are all good options of carbohydrates, protein, and fluids. For more solid meals, these are some solid foods. So again, similar content. These are all going to be about 1 to 1.2 grams per kilogram for most people when it comes to carbohydrates. So 1 to 2 cups of pasta, 3 or 4 ounces of grilled chicken, okay, baked potato with fish, sub sandwich, whole grain bagel. These are all good options that they can potentially utilize as solid food sources. Okay, and then in summary of what we're doing here, basically we want to make sure that they are taking in a pre and post game meal. It doesn't need to be complicated, it doesn't need to be expensive. Like I said earlier, we're looking for easily digestible carbohydrates. We want to make sure that they're getting adequate protein and a little bit of fluid beforehand to make sure that they're hydrated. Okay, utilize cheap grains, starchy vegetables, fruits for your carbohydrates. Choose things like dairy, eggs, or poultry as affordable lean protein sources. Try and restrict the fat, fiber, and veggies because they're not doing a whole lot and they do increase your risk for stomach discomfort. And try and make sure that you are aware of the amount of time that they have to recover, the access to food that they have for recovery, and things like that.